We'd like to go ahead and get started right at 6 o'clock, so we'd like to welcome all of you up to the Town of Daniel Council meeting tonight, Monday, September 11th, 2023 at 6 o'clock p.m. Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B. Appreciate all of you being here tonight, and it's good to have you here. Go ahead with agenda item number one, public comment. You got any public comment this evening? Okay.
I will say that there, Mr. Crabb, who has a permit through Ardura, that was the porch, and then we talked about it, and now it's the roof. He's planning on coming tonight, but he's new to the area, so he might be struggling to find his way.
He might be sitting right back there.
Oh, hello, Mr. Crabb. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, he came by the office twice today, so.
Thanks for being here. Let's go ahead to agenda item number two. Storm Haven Water System Improvement and Grant Funding Discussion. And tonight, we're pretty fortunate to have three individuals here this evening that are going to field all of our questions and talk to us for a few minutes. We'll start with Ryan Taylor and turn the time over to Ryan. And this is just a discussion. We're not voting on anything. We're in the preliminary stages of working on what we're working on. And so we'll turn some time over to Ryan. And then, but feel free to ask any questions that you want to ask.
I'll try to be brief and not take away too much of Nancy's thunder here. But there's the potential for some, to fill out some grants that are due here in October that could allow us to move forward with the Storm Haven improvements that we've talked about since most of you started on the council here. Actually, since all of us started on the council here, but we got other things done. There's the potential for up to 90% grant. So if you remember right, I presented a few years ago, we had a grant that came back at 50-50 for about $6 million. And so the $6 million, we would have to pay three. And as we ran the numbers, that became just cost prohibitive. And so we turned that money back and moved on to other things. Costs have gone up a little bit. The need hasn't changed.
Costs have gone up a lot.
Dan corrected. Costs have gone up a lot and continue to go up a lot. The need has continued to go up, and the funding has not really changed. And to not steal too much thunder, but we think we have an opportunity with these new grants to get up to 90% grant. I wanted to come here tonight before we go through and do the grants and do too much work on them. One of the worst things you can do is apply for the grant and then say thanks but no thanks after you get it. With up to 90% grant, obviously that's a heck of a lot better than the 50-50 we were talking about a few years ago. And I think it would be amazing. But on a $5 or $6 million project, that means we still need to come up with a good chunk of change. And so what I guess I'm asking the council tonight is at least not a vote, but at least an acknowledgement that if we, you know, can move forward and get a 90% grant, that we're on board with. Obviously we don't write a check for $600,000, because last time I checked we were about $600,000 short. But we would obviously have to bond or get a loan or do some other thing that would encumber the town for that 10%. I think if we can get a 90% grant on a project that's anywhere near this big, satisfy even part of this need, that's a great idea. But I think we need to know tonight, or get a good idea that from the council, that we're willing to bond that other 10%. Did I leave anything out?
What's the timing?
It's a Water Smart grant through the Bureau of Reclamation. The grant is due October 31st. It'll probably take a full month with the help of Daniels. I can help them with it. I'm a grant writer for Wasatch County. We could go through the process. There's a lot that you have already, which makes it easy. You've got the design, you've got the engineering. You know what you want and where you want it, so there's no guessing work there. We just need to crunch the numbers, write out all the required documents. And what I can do is, there's a gentleman that oversees this area. He's an intergovernment reviewer. His name is Taylor Kaufman in Salt Lake, and I did leave a message with him. I wanted to call him up and say, this is our project, this is what we're doing, we're in a small town, are you gonna require us to do the 10%? How can we fund that? Is this a good project? Do we have a chance to get this before we can jump in and try and do this? So that's something that I would do tomorrow if I got your okay with that. Get some information from him. Whenever I write a grant, I always find out who's ahead of it, and I text them or email them or something. Introduce myself, this is what we're doing, how does this sound? Just to kind of get a feel of what they want and if it's a good idea. So it's a really, you have 3 years to pay to do it. So that gives you 3 years of design. The other thing that's really important right now is, before we apply, if you don't have the technical expertise, I know you guys do, but if there's areas where you're lacking, if you ask in the beginning, they will actually help you. The Bureau of Reclamation will help you with the technical part. You know, it's a small town. There might be areas that you might not be able to fill. So they will be able to do that. I just have to notify them prior to applying that we are going to add a little bit of money to the grant, and then we'll pay them to help us in areas that we need. So it's kind of nice, a nice roundabout grant that I think is, fits perfectly for this, for your project. And I can answer any questions anybody has.
What's the focus of this grant? What are, can you read for us the criteria that they're asking
you bet.
Us to meet?
I'm glad I printed it out. It says, we're applying for a Task D, which is domestic water supply projects for tribes or smaller communities. There are for construction of domestic water supplies, which our primary purpose is to provide domestic water supplies to disadvantaged tribal or small communities that do not have reliable access to water supplies. This can include the development of new supplies and or associated infrastructure for treatment and delivery. And their limit is $10 million. So your project would probably be close to six, maybe seven by the time the money comes through. We apply, we won't know until next October. It takes me a year to process all these through. You'll get notices, and I'll get notices, and I'll send them to you, but it's a process, so we won't know for a while whether we'll get the grant or not. Unfortunately, that drives me crazy, but there's not much you can do about that. I always like to know.
How much total is in the pot for this program? And
I think it was $300 million. I think it was three, yeah. I didn't write it down, and I read it today, but it was 72 pages. I remember all the pieces. But I think it was $300 million. And what they're trying to do is get to small rural areas and communities that don't have the infrastructure, and they don't have the money to afford this.
So this is federal, not state?
This is federal, Bureau of Reclamation. Interior Department and Bureau of Reclamation, yeah.
I guess one thing I'd add on that note is, she mentioned it's gonna take a year to actually get the funding, and then all the federal requirements, so I would update. We will update this cost estimate for those two reasons before it goes in, and I don't want anyone to be shocked when the number is quite a bit larger. Trying to predict what costs are going to be a year out, I mean, think back a year and what construction costs have done, it's a crapshoot. And the last thing you want to do is ask for $6 million and then need 6.1.
Yep.
So you always want to shoot a little high.
I would definitely do that.
So just so that we're all on the same page, right now the number is 5.638. I would anticipate that being 7-something, maybe even closer to 8, knowing that we're a year out and there's a lot of unknowns. I do know, it's not an unknown, I do know we will have to follow all of the federal rules, which makes construction quite a bit more expensive. So just so nobody gets surprised, I would think that our number might be 7.5 or 8 by the time we submit to cover ourselves on future.
Will we pay Davis Bacon too?
Yes.
Is there, Ryan, is there something in this project where there's like an accordion that's got a little bit of squeeze and,
yes,
back and forth, so that if, let's just say it came in 6.1, I mean, $100,000 more than what we anticipated?
Yeah, I try to design every project with one or two phases that I'd really like but aren't have to have for that very reason.
That's great.
That said, I also like to make, pad the numbers the wrong word. I like to put in a healthy contingency when we're 2 years out, because lots of things can change. I've had a few meetings where I get to sit here before a group like this and say that we have an extra $500,000, how do we want to spend it? And those are awesome meetings. I've had meetings where I had to sit down and say, we're $500,000 short, what are we going to do? And I can tell you that I would rather have that first meeting.
Where are you forecasting the installation of the tank?
So there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, so that's one of the things that might change, is there's a lot of unknowns. I feel confident in my number to build the tank, but the piping to the tank, we've got a couple sites that are across the highway. Boring under the highway at least once, twice would be preferable. It's very expensive. There's some opportunities maybe on our side of the highway that need to be further investigated, which would help reduce the cost of piping. Those are all up in the air right now. A year out from construction, I feel confident that with three locations, one of them will pan out.
So you apply now, they tell you in a year if you're going to get it, and then you have 3 years to spend it?
Correct. What they usually for these grants, and I could be wrong, but I've read it in so many of these, is they give you 90% of the money right up front. So that way you can get your bids out, get your work construction going. Then to get that last 10%, you got to do all the reporting. And that's just busy work, accounting, something that you'll love to do. Probably not. I will help you with that. But that's how they do it. They'll hold that last 10% till all your reports and everything comes in, and then they will release that last 10%. Because they know you can't fund all that while you're doing construction. There's just no way.
And before you ask, because I did, you can't just say no to the last 10%. It occurred to me that for the last 10%, all the paperwork, we could just say, you know, enough's enough. But it doesn't work that way. If you take the money, you have to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
So I'm not seeing the same numbers. You are, I guess maybe there it is, up to $10 million per agreement that can be completed within 3 years?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. So what's the application like?
Intense. It's 25 to 40 pages. I have to do, there is a budget, which is in their spreadsheet, which everyone's spreadsheet is always different. You always got to learn somebody's new spreadsheet. Then it's a narrative for the budget. Then you got to do your introduction. There's actually sections. You have to put down your fringe benefits, your personnel, travel expenses, equipment, supplies. So there's sections that you have to fill out. A lot of them you won't fill out because you're going to bid it out. You're not going to buy anything. You're not going to have travel expenses. You're not going to have fringe benefits, things like
but
that.
But that's just budget. Where do we tell them what we want to do and why?
Okay, in the main, I guess, guts of it. You have your abstract, your summary, your details. They have it filled out. All you have to do is go along and just fill it out. It's about 25 to 30 pages of writing. It's pretty intensive.
Yeah,
as far
who's going to do that?
Huh?
Who's going to do that?
I can help whoever wants to work with it. She said she would help me, and maybe you guys can help a little bit. That would be nice. I can't do the whole thing myself because I'm so busy.
No, we want to get you some help.
That would be helpful. I've done this before, so it's not
I,
like...
I would volunteer as well, because I've done a number of these kinds of grants.
Excellent.
And so we could
team up and sit down, and we can brainstorm and jump on it. Because I've done this before, and just I want to jump on it if we're going to jump on it.
And it's due in Halloween, right?
October 31st.
Yeah.
Yeah, electronically by midnight. But I always get it in 2 days before. You never put a grant in the same day as due. You just don't. Because you have a crash, and then you're in trouble. I've had that happen, not to me, but to somebody else. I'm always 2 to 3 days out. I want to get that in early.
So do you have an account, not really an account, but are you set up to fill this out and access this?
Yep.
How do you do that? How can you share that with us?
www.sams.gov. I think there's two different areas that you can do it in. I wish I would have brought my computer. I can send you the link, and I give you my password. I already have a set up an account.
Well, we should be able to use our own passwords to still access the same grant.
If she wants to set it up, she can do that, and then I can use her passwords. That's fine. You got to have your EIU number.
Yeah.
You never remember how to say that. You guys know what I'm saying. Yeah.
You keep changing
it all. I know. So as soon as I put that in, it'll click an account for Daniels because it's your identification number. So she can set it up. We can all three of us can have access to it. I just have an account set up because I work for MAG. I have all the accounts, .gov, sams.gov, I have all of them. Because I'm always looking for grants.
Yeah.
So that's why I have that ability to go in there and look at things.
So our next meeting is in October.
I know.
So we ought to divide up and see what we want to do now in terms of looking at this grant.
Yep. That would help. I have a couple to do in the next couple of weeks. I'm really busy this next 2 weeks. I got a conference with the UDOT next week. After that, I'm pretty much open. So it's next week, I don't have time. This week I do, but next week I'm going to come at a conference.
Well, what would we propose, guys, to, or do we even want to do this?
I don't know how we cannot do it.
Yeah.
This is a really good opportunity. Yeah. And if we can get the waiver, the UMA may not even have to pay the 10%. I'm going to ask about that. But I don't want to give you that wish and hope. Well, it's 5%. It is, but you can ask for a waiver. And I don't know what that means. He just says call, and if you want a waiver. Because you are a small town. You don't have, what is it, 900 people you have? That's like Waterford.
Roughly.
Yeah. It's below the 10,000, you know, it's 1,000 below is the lowest, it's called the township. That's what they call it. But you're below that. So I didn't want to make any promises, but we can try to do that. Email him tomorrow and talk to him, the gentleman that oversees this project in this area. And there's been four or five that have been awarded in Utah. WaterSmart Heber got a nice WaterSmart grant for $5 million to upgrade their secondary lines.
We recently did some low and moderate income homework on...
CBDG?
Well, yeah, for sewer modifications, and so I think we'll...
That will be very helpful.
Yes, well, so then I think that Forestry Fire State Lands and the county fire chief will give us a letter basically expressing the dire nature of not having fire hydrants in that area because of the combustible fuels and everything else that's
right.
so intense.
That's why I think your need is a true need. It's not something that you want, it's a true need.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between a good project and a not so good project, is that it's a want and a need. You have a need.
Yeah.
It's clearly you have a need.
So how do we proceed? What do we do? Do you want to draft this and email it out and give everybody access to the website so we can review the different sections? You want someone else to draft it?
Let me get with Kim and I'll have her open up an account in Daniel's name.
Okay.
And then we can all look at that and we can meet this week if you want. I'm available Thursday or Friday. We can meet and we can sit down and we can go through all the documents. I've looked at all of them. There's a lot, 72 pages of reading. It's
yeah.
It's mostly just verbiage and what you need, you know, project name, number, just a lot of information, a lot of forms that you have to fill out. It's just, a lot of it is busy work. The guts of it is where we're really gonna have to focus on. The other stuff we can do, but it's the guts that we want to show that you actually have a need.
Yeah, and we want to write it really carefully and review it and have others review it and make sure it's really good.
As long as we don't get too many editors, then it gets to be mumbled.
Yeah, we only want editors that kind of are editors, right?
Yeah.
That can help. But how do we proceed, guys? What do you want to do? Do you want to meet next week, this week? Do you want to...
She can next week.
I can this week. Thursday or Friday, I can, if you have that open.
I don't have this Thursday or Friday, but I have next week.
Don't know that you want to meet as a council and advertise it as a meeting. I think you might want to
just find a
small group of...
Yeah.
Small group and move forward with just one or two.
Yeah.
And I think basically tonight, I mean, we need to say, yes, we're moving forward with this and we definitely are pursuing this. And that's what they're looking for tonight, is it?
Well, let's set a meeting. If we decide to do it, let's set a time where we can meet and get going.
I can meet Monday. So Monday I am open. I'm gone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So I can meet Monday. How's that?
Great for me.
What time would you guys like to meet and where?
How many can meet without having a meeting?
Two.
So I won't be there because I'm not a verbiage guy. I barely speak English.
Well, I want to be there, so. Okay, Robin and I, Robin?
And Kim?
Yeah.
Do you want to meet at Ardura or do you want to meet at
Let's
my
meet
office?
At Ardura, that'd be fine.
Is that okay with you, Ryan?
Yeah.
Because you have all those. Like really pertinent documents.
Mm-hmm. My office works.
Okay. What time?
You call it.
I'm free anytime.
6?
7:30 a.m.
Not then.
You're cruel.
And our goal in this meeting will be to review the sections that we need to write.
Correct.
Okay. That makes some sense.
Monday 18th, let's do it at 10.
John was saying 6 in the morning.
That would actually work.
No, it does work.
So let's do 11 o'clock, how's that?
Oh.
He can do it at 11 on Monday, and I can too.
I can't be at a Dura at 11.
I will.
Okay.
Can we go later? Can we do after 2?
After 3 works.
After 3 works. Is it 3:30?
3:01.
How about 3?
What, anytime after 2, I can make.
Okay, let's do 3 o'clock then.
Okay, at a Dura.
Okay.
We killed 6 o'clock, didn't we?
Would you like me to set up the account so you can look through it before?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I will send you the RO number, and all you do is click that on, and it'll bring it up, and you can set it up.
And I can send that to everybody, and then everybody can look at it, and they can copy you or Robin or me with any questions or comments. And that way, we're not breaking any public meeting rules.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions for the individuals that we have here that, do the public have any questions or? We'll turn some time over to you.
Okay. So my name is Janelle Brethwaite. I'm the management technician with the Rural Water Association. So if you can do anything and get a 90% grant at this point in time, you better not just walk to it. You better run, because that is not happening anymore. In fact, the State Division of Drinking Water, at their last board meeting, just put a moratorium on all construction projects that are applying until June of next year, because they don't know how the funding is going to go.
But you're talking state.
So, yeah, that's okay. The state revolving fund. Well, but that was all of the millions that we got from bipartisan infrastructure, the ARPA. So they've just dug their heels in.
But even the SRF funding, the long-term outlook on the state revolving fund is grim.
It is grim. So what happens with that? That also affects the federal rural development funding, because what's happening is a lot of this money that EPA has given them has been allocated to Congress, and they're the ones that are divvying the money out. So those earmarks are creating a problem with this SRF that we've seen for years. So yeah, this is a good thing. I'm wondering on that 10%, there is $50 million that has been allocated by the legislature to the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity. I'm wondering if maybe, because usually federal, you can't match with federal, but they might would let you match some on state. So I'm wondering if you might go for that 10%. Now those applications times, I actually thought they were closed, but here's an intent to apply pre-application. That closes October the 1st. Through the governor's office. Then there is economic assistance, but all of these include infrastructure, because they love infrastructure. They know it needs to be done. That deadline is September 21st. There's $4.5 million. And then, excuse me, Rural Communities Opportunity Grant. That one is November 17th. So.
Will they consider an application that's a year out before we even get
Well, and I don't know the time frame on them, but if you apply even for maybe more and then waggle that amount if you were approved that.
I think my suggestion would be start with this, the big grant.
Right? Yeah, start with the big
grant. There are some waivers to the 10%.
Yeah.
I'm telling you tonight, we need to move forward assuming we're going to come up with 10%, because that's, I want to say worst-case scenario. That's not the worst case. The worst-case scenario is they tell us to go pound sand. The next worst-case scenario is they say you have to come up with 10%. We need to find a way. There are some potential waivers, but I think we need to be committed to coming up with the 10%. And I think we need to assume that that's going to be a loan or a bond or something that's repayable. I think if it looks, you know, if we have a year to play with it, I think there's an opportunity to get, you know, to find matching state funds or other matching funds to make that not as grim.
And there will probably be more of this allocated the way the infrastructure's been. So these are like quickly, but I agree with Ryan. That could happen as well. So in finding that 10%, sorry, I've got a frog. So we're actually contracted through the state, just kind of the middleman, the technical assistance to help water systems and sewer systems, of course. But I think in the meantime, it would be good to do a water rate study, and I could do that, excuse me, at no cost. That's just our job to help the communities determine where they need to be. That way, if you do end up coming with that 10%, you need to do a bond payment. We can throw that in there and see right where your rates need to be. And it's all in black and white. So that is an option for you to do as well, that we can help you with. So anyway, I think you guys are headed in the right direction. I talked with Ryan before. He does a great job here, and we'll do what we can to help you as well.
I would suggest that rate study for a number of reasons. We can do one for you too, but she's a lot cheaper and probably better. So use her.
So I was a city recorder for 10 years, and down in Gunnison, we did a $10.5 million water project about 8 years ago, which is huge for us. So I had Rural Water telling us this is where your rate should be. I had the engineers telling us this is where your rate should be. I had the state Division of Drinking Water and USDA telling us this is where your rate should be. I wished I would have had one of these water rate studies, because I would have known exactly why it needed to be where it was. And there's a million ways to get to the same revenue, but what works best for you. So anyway, once I do this, it's yours. It's a Google Sheet, so you can call me, I can look at it, you can look at it, Ryan can look at it, Kim can look at it, we can work on it together. If somebody messes it up, we can fix it. But that way you've got it in black and white. You can tell your citizens, this is why we need to be here. We have X amount of expenditures. We need X amount of revenue plus 20%, not profit, but we need to put that into depreciation or emergency funding or capital improvement. So it is really a great, great sheet to have. And I really recommend that you get on that, and we can update that through the years to keep up current, so you know right where you need to be.
So I have some concerns with that, actually.
Yeah.
Our water rates are really low right now, right? And that's a good thing. And it's a good thing in many ways.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
Yeah.
And this study is not going to tell us that our water rates are in a good place.
No, it's just going to tell you where you really should be.
But the other thing that is a little concerning to me is, I think this is actually 5% maybe on this grant that we have to match, at least what I've read so far, not 10. Big difference, right? But I don't know that it's fair or right for all the town to pay for the improvements in certain parts of the town.
Well, and Right? Usually what would happen on that is you would just, and that's something you're gonna have to determine.
Yeah.
But usually the part of the town that is affected, well, but you've got the two systems.
Yeah.
So usually the one system would pay for itself rather than the whole, so we would end up doing two different
water studies,
one for Stormhaven and one for Daniel. Because the bond payment, whether that would just be the responsibility if you ended up doing 10%, but Daniel is still gonna be behind the loan, the application for Storm Haven.
Yeah.
So you're still going to have to say, you know, we're going to be able to pay this 10% if you are responsible for the 10%. Even if you're not doing a project, you are being fiscally responsible.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah, for your water systems to be able to know why you need to be either where you're at or whether you need to do maybe some little incremental increases each year.
So
and it's a tough thing.
What's your experience in this situation where we have the Storm Haven water system and we have the Daniel water system? Do we pull together as a community and pay that all together, or do communities let Storm Haven pay their own bill and let Daniel pay their own bill? How does that typically work?
Depends on what you put in your application that you're going to do. You know, and that's something you guys have to decide. Usually,
but is there
still in the same, it's kind of a unique situation where you've got the two systems in one town. Because usually, even if you did a project and you only worked on the east part of the system, the whole system is responsible to cover that because it actually benefits the whole system. Because if this part fails, these other parts also struggle as well.
Yeah.
But where you've got the two systems, two billings, it's almost like two separate towns, but there again, you're going to be applying for financial aid through the town of Daniel.
Yeah.
So like Daniel is responsible, and at some point, whether you mesh those two systems together once this part is upgraded, whether you do some kind of a SSD or something and just put the bond payment, you know, on Storm Haven customers, that's something that's going to have to be decided, but that's kind of a interesting situation for you guys.
Yeah, and the Storm Haven residents aren't going to want to do that, right?
No.
They're going to expect the Daniel residents to help them out.
Yeah.
And I can see that,
yeah.
But I can also see, why should someone in Daniel pay for Storm Haven water?
Well, are the rates similar, or are they a big difference in the rates?
I don't know.
Are they about the same?
What's Storm Haven?
I think they're 45.
Yeah, so they're close. They're reasonable.
$10 off.
Yeah.
We get way less water than Daniel does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a difference.
There is.
Yeah.
In what you're doing.
Yeah.
I would argue that's a reason to do the study. Because I think, short of SSDs and lots of other things, the town is probably going to take out the bond, would be responsible for the bond, just like the one we have now.
But it's how we.
But if you did the rate study, then you could show that, well, you would know what it would take for what the rates would have to be to pay that bond back in full one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so with the numbers, it doesn't make the decision for you. That's why you
get
to pay the big bucks. But it gives you the information to know where we need to be to make that happen.
And it's pretty thorough. And as things change, you update this document. It's only as good as the information that we have. We take 12 months of usage and we put that usage in there so that we can see just pretty darn close where your revenues should be now and then where they need to be, depending on those expenditures and those bonds that you may need to put in there.
So help me understand what the study consists of. You're going to work with Ryan, and Ryan's going to tell you all these things, all the money we need to come up with to make the system work.
Well, first I'm going to get everything from Kim. I'm going to get 12 months of usage reports.
Okay.
And then I'm going to get the budget.
Okay.
And I can either get that or pull it off the state auditor's website.
Okay.
Then we're going to put in there all of that information. Then once we get that where we need to be and I can see where your rates are, then we're going to put in, say, maybe you had a $10,000 annual bond payment. We're going to put that in there, and I'm just pulling that number out of thin air. We're going to put that in. We're going to see what it does to your rates. Then I'm going to have another column that's going to show you what you maybe could be billing them, say if you did a $2 increase on the base rate. Then I'm going to show you what that'll do to all of your customers, and we'll do that for both systems, so that you can see and maybe and maybe play with that if you just do the bond here. But there again, Daniel is going to say, we're going to have the revenue in to pay for this bond if that's what you end up doing, so.
I think to help answer one of John's questions, if the rate study comes back that the bill goes to $100 a month or some big number, is there any obligation that the council adopt that rate study?
No obligation. No, this is just for your information.
And what does it cost us?
Not a thing.
Oh, that's the right
price.
We
are contracted through the state.
If she does too, it's going to cost double.
Yeah. We are contracted to help systems throughout the state. So I travel the state and do a lot of water rate studies and do a lot of engineering RFPs to help you get good engineers, but you've got one, so I think you're in good shape there. But anyway, yeah, this is just a good tool for you to have to be responsible to your citizens, so.
When was the last time the town of Daniel did a rate study? You got any idea?
Yeah, I got an idea.
When?
Last 20 years.
Okay,
I think
10 maybe. We did it in 2009, a formal rate study, because we were bonding, and so.
Well, I think, honestly, I think we should probably move forward with that and see what it does on both water systems and, I mean, just for common knowledge. Anyway.
Well, yeah, you don't have to, it's not obligating anybody.
Right.
This is just for you to get that base to start running with this for funding. And another thing, depending on where you get all of your funding, sometimes they tell you where you need to be and you may not like that. It's better for you to be the front runner on it and say, hey, we've got this water rate analysis. This is where we need to be. This is what we need to do. So just to be a step ahead of the curve, even though you might just be a little behind at this point in time. And low rates are awesome until you go for funding. Then it's a struggle. It doesn't do anybody any favors, you know. But a lot of times when we did ours in Gunnison, we had to do an $18 base rate increase. And that really hurt. You know, of course, the council votes for it, and then we're the ones that get all the phone calls. And it was really tough. We wanted them to come in and answer the phone for a couple weeks after we sent those first bills, but it didn't happen that way. But there's nothing easy about it, but this is just to get a step ahead, see where you need to be.
Sure. Great.
What is the time frame on
just you know, and budget time is usually my busiest time for rate studies. So right now it'll probably take me, once I get the information, about 2 weeks.
Well, that's bad.
Okay, we have a brand new commercial customer that we've never had before.
Okay.
How would we anticipate that?
And you've got a commercial rate?
Yes.
Okay.
But they're
then
just
once
open.
You get... Well, because you're probably about ready to read your meters the end of September.
Have we read any
yet.
For
yeah.
CMC?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have at least one.
So
one
once we get that,
okay,
then we'll
and
put
it's
that
kind
in.
Of projected out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not the Storm Haven system. That's the Daniel system.
No, but she's doing both.
I think you're the one that gets to send me a lot of the usage reports.
It's his wife.
Sent that request, so she's the lucky one.
So
she's always the lucky one.
They'll do the study on the data we have, and then in a year we'll update.
I was just.
So right now, CMC won't factor in.
Start.
In a year, we'll see how that helps or hurts us.
Yeah.
But you're right. We could guess and we could run a what if, but we don't know what their water use is going to be.
We just haven't had a big commercial development like that before.
Yeah, and then when I get done, I like to come up and go over it with Kim and whoever else would like to understand that usually a work session is best, because honestly, the knowledge is power in this situation. I want everybody to understand it. I want everybody to be able to use it. You can make a copy of it yourself and play with those rates and see if you can come up with something better. Because there are no apples to apples with any water system. So the more we can dial this in on yours, the better. Does that help you?
Yeah, great.
All right.
Great, thank you.
You bet. Be happy to work with you.
Any other questions for Janelle? Okay. Well, I think we go ahead and move forward with that, Dan.
Okay.
Get with Kim.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. You're free to stay or go or whatever you want to do.
You know, I love council meetings, but I'm probably gonna hang.
I'm gonna skip, I'm gonna go to an item that's not here real quick. I'm gonna turn some time over to Brother
Crab.
Not brother. I'm sorry about that.
Commissioner?
Mr. Crab.
Well, I didn't come here to talk tonight, I just came to listen.
Okay. All right, I was gonna give you an opportunity, but.
No, I just came to listen and learn.
Okay, we'll go right past that then. Let's go to agenda item number four then. Daniel Municipal Code Update Discussion. We're gonna turn a little bit of time over to Mary for this.
I did go to the Planning Commission meeting last month and requested a code change regarding 80209 and 80208. And that is regarding the Board of Appeals. And so I have requested that, so the last meeting for the Planning Commission was their first view of what I was requesting. And all I'm doing is changing the word adjustment in the code to appeals to comply with Title II of our code. The other thing that I'm asking for is basically that we disregard the 4-vote requirement for in favor of reversing a decision by the town to comply with the state code, which basically says, as we did in the bylaws, a majority vote of the persons present at the Board of Appeals meeting. So basically that's pretty much all that there was to it. I didn't bring that with me.
But that could be a low number, right, Mary?
Yes, the quorum is 3, yeah. So a 2-person.
Could overturn a big decision.
It could. But that's the whole point of a Board of Appeals. It affirms or reverses,
sure.
Or modifies.
Or just think 2-3 vote.
Well, we have a 5-member board. Getting 5 members up together at one time is very difficult to do. I thought, up until the very last minute, that we were going to have five members at that Board of Appeals meeting. In fact, our chair is with us tonight, and we had 3.
Yeah.
We had 3 that showed up, and so we went ahead with the meeting because we had a quorum.
I get it. It's mm-hmm. tough. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to overturn a decision is a big deal, right?
Yeah.
And
It could be.
2 people making that decision is tough.
Keep in mind that the board is required to comply with the code.
Sure, absolutely.
Unless the town has interpreted the code improperly in some way or made a mistake, I wouldn't anticipate the Board of Appeals to overturn it. However, I understand what you're saying, and it's a valid point. Keep in mind that on our board here, we have by our code, we are supposed to, if we only have a quorum of 3, we are all supposed to vote in favor in order to take action. Mm-hmm. So that is in our code as well. So, but I have requested the Board of Appeals to just go with the majority vote because that is what the code says.
What do you
the
guys
The state think? Code says that.
Any other thoughts on that? Others?
I'll just say, based on what I've understood the last year, I think we should adopt that and say yes to that. Just for the sheer fact of it, it is difficult to get 5 members there, and you do have then you vote. So the Board of Appeals in Daniels met. They've met 4 times in 16 years.
17 years
and so it happened to be last month that we met for the 4th time, and as we move through this process, I think we adapt in to what's going to work. And I think you still have three people there. That still is the majority of the vote, so.
I have a question. You said we're not matching the state code. Which state code? What are we trying to, you said the state code says a majority.
Of those members which, present.
The state code on a Board of Appeals?
That's what I'm saying. That's what the state code, and they recently changed that. I mean, I think it was 2017 that they changed it. In 2018, the county board of, it's called the Board of Adjustment, they did change our code to comply with that. And so we have to have four to be, have a quorum on the Board of Adjustment. And so we have to have a 3-1 vote to take action. We, but prior to our change, we had to have had four. And like I have explained before, we adopted that same code, and that's how it's always read. So they changed theirs, the county did, in 2018 to comply with the state code. And now, you know, this came up for us. So anyway, so what I asked the Planning Commission to do, because I'm hoping that they'll have some additional code changes that they would want us to look at. You recall our code indicates that we will consider changes for our code in November as council. So I've asked them to schedule a public hearing in October to hear any changes that they have and then make a recommendation to our council. And we would then have a public hearing in November to consider those same changes and go ahead and vote on those. Okay. I'm sorry I didn't bring those codes with me tonight. I didn't realize that you were going to turn
you didn't
that
know
over.
I was going to put you on the spot.
No, you didn't.
Nobody knows that when I do that. But sometimes that happens. But I appreciate you explaining that.
Just for John's information, planning had similar concerns and we'll work through those in a recommendation too. So it's not only you that's concerned about that. So we'll have some more discussion too. And come up with a recommendation with some reasoning behind it.
Good. Okay. Any questions about that? Okay. Let's go to agenda item number 5 then, business license renewal. We have one new application. This application is the Palms Property Management, Inc. The name of the applicant is Leroy Chip Palbordi. His physical address is 429 West, 3000 South, Daniel, Utah. That's on Big Hollow Road for those of you.
Actually, no.
What's that?
It's on 3000 South.
Okay.
It's his son that's on Big Hollow and he's in another house.
Okay, thanks for correcting me.
He owns two properties.
Chip has it's a property management company. He has a computer in his home, if I remember right, it's what he told me. And he is doing some property management out of his home. So this is a new application.
Which home is this?
Used to be Cabrera's.
Oh, did they move or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. They did.
Okay. And now the property he's managing is in California, from what he said in planning. So he's just got his computer here, phone calls, so.
Okay.
It's a basic home business.
Yeah.
That's all I have with that. So I'll call for a motion.
Move to approve Palms Property Management business license request.
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Lauder, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Fixon, yes.
Okay. No renewals this month.
Not this month.
Let's go ahead and go to council reports. We'll start with you, Robin.
Are we going to do item number 3 on the agenda?
That was the discussion that we just had with.
Okay. We've got something in our
guys to look at.
So it's just, but are we going to discuss it?
If you want to go back to there, we'll discuss it. You bet. Sorry, if I prematurely advanced, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Who is the author of this?
This information, Ken, where did we get from?
Which page? So this...
The municipal resolution.
That's in 2017.
That's the one that...
That just states what the water rates were.
Back in... So all that's there for is, I thought we were...
That was just to show what the water rates currently are for Storm Haven.
Water rates discussion on there, and then you've got a sheet that basically...
No, the water infrastructure, this was for another grant we were looking at, and Eric helped fill out some of this, and he noted that all of the information was contained in that resolution, so I just included that resolution so everybody could look at it. But the...
On our previous town council meeting, we had a discussion about water rate enhancements or changes, but this was basically continue that discussion. It says water rate and impact hookup fee discussion.
Well, and that's why we had Ryan and we had everybody here to talk about that. This is just basic information of where we're at. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is not a continuation of our previous last month's discussion,
no,
regarding water rate.
This is where the water rates need to be basically for us to apply for grants, because that's part of the puzzle. And so some of it is continued, but we were looking, Janelle wasn't able to be here last month, and we were looking to her to explain what Rural Water was able to do for us. So we were just trying to bring all of the stakeholders all in one room so that you could ask them questions at the same time.
I've continued to have discussions with the state of Parsons on ground.
So we're back to council report now.
Council report. Continue to have discussions with Dax Maxfield from the state of Parsons regarding the acre of ground on the east side of the highway to the possible location for a water storage tank. Had numerous discussions with Heather Ponte for drinking water as well, and she's told me the same thing, that they put a moratorium on the appropriation that the Utah legislature made to improve for water system improvements, but they're not going to do anything till the end of next year. So that's pretty much all I have to report today.
Thank you. Barry. I just want to report on the day of service that we had on Saturday. We had an awesome turnout. We went up into Storm Haven and cut down a bunch of dead trees and brush that was in the entryway of that. We had a great turnout. Had probably 30 to 40 people up there. Great community project. We've still got a little bit of brush up there that we need to take care of, and we'll get up there and get that handled sometime this week. A few more trees that need cut down, smaller trees, but all in all, it was a great project and just a lot of community support and help, and I think it was awesome. So I will update you about the RV on Daniel Road.
Your RV.
Yeah, I got the sleeping bag in my sleep in.
I was going to put a sign on it that says mayor's office.
Well, I've contacted the sheriff department a month ago. It's been sitting there for 4 or 5 months, and they told me it'd take 14 days to get it moved, and we've had a couple of moving companies come and look at it, and they're like, we didn't know it was this big, we can't move it. So we're still working with Officer Grant, Wasatch County Sheriff's Department. I had a citizen call me the other day and say, why don't we just make the town of Daniel office mobile and put Kim in that RV now.
Actually, they call Kim on a...
Kind of running around like the bookmobile used to be.
They call Kim on a Sunday night. Kim did not laugh.
Park it in different locations. We just need Wi-Fi in it to run our computers out of it, and so we're thinking about possibly adopting it for a mobile office for the town of Heber, or town of Daniel.
For about 5 minutes, my face was very red.
But anyway, we're in the process of getting rid of that. It'll probably be another few weeks that we'll have it out of there, and I'll talk to Officer Grant in a couple of days when he stops by the house again. I'll see if my next step is basically just get a Mini X and demolish it right there and put it in a dump truck and or a trailer and haul it to the dump. So that's kind of the route that's where we're sitting right now on that. I know that's been a concern to a lot of people, so that's where we're at on that. Other than that, I don't have anything else, so we'll turn some time over to you, Johnny.
Okay. I think we have the best planner we could ever have. And I think we have the best planning committee chair that we could ever have. And I want to keep both of them, for sure. And I think one thing that might help keep both of them is if we, and we've talked about this before, but if we came up with a scope of work or a, what did we call it, Mary? Kind of their duties, the duties of this, or the responsibilities of this position. Because to me, they're not, sometimes I wonder, do I call Eric? Do I call Gary? Do I call Ron?
I can help you call Gary.
Good luck calling me.
Yeah, and I think that it would be beneficial, at least for me, to kind of know what each one of them is supposed to be doing. Because they do awesome, great stuff, and I know that, and I'm so grateful for them. But if we could outline what they're supposed to do, just so when we have to replace them, we know what we're replacing.
We not have job descriptions?
Yeah, job description. That's kind of all I'm asking.
Do we have that already? Does that exist? Do you have a job description for your job?
Mayor calls, I go to work.
Yeah. And our code needs some updating around that too, because there's some things that are not the way we're doing things, are not written the way we ever want to do things. So
yeah, so I would like us to address those, and I think Mary would really help us with that.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
No, because you're just really good at that, Mary.
Oh, I'm just really good at that.
I guess the thing is, I'm saying, is I'd like to look at it sooner than later. If that would be okay. So I don't know if it's really a report, but it's an issue that I...
For a future meeting.
Yeah, or a future meeting, or to have someone, maybe have Eric list what he thinks he's supposed to be doing.
Call Gary.
I don't know that, I don't think that's what you do. Well, I know it's not all the time, but maybe you could draft up what your responsibilities are.
Is that included in that? When I gave you the SOIs, planner was in that? I believe you have a copy of that SOI when you became mayor.
You call that an SOI?
Yeah, standard operating instruction.
Okay, that's at my house.
Yes, sir.
Standard operating instruction. I'll go dig that out of my file, and I'll read through that.
Okay, and maybe we come up with, is that like a job description thing, Eric?
Yeah, it was to hand to my replacement.
Oh, okay.
Because I really thought I was out the door, and this is what I do, and this is what he needs to do.
Yeah, okay.
So,
and if we could come up with one of those for the mayor, and one of those for the planning commission chair, I think that would be real. And the planning commission, you know, what am I supposed to, or not planning commission, the town council, what am I supposed to do? No, really. You guys, I didn't mean that.
You're just asking that now?
But what are my responsibilities? What are my, I think it would be helpful to have that.
You're right.
We have hard enough time getting people to run for office.
Do you want my phone number for a week?
No.
You know, John.
That's why.
There it is, John.
You're supposed to come to the meetings.
But we haven't really adopted, I guess we kind of have adopted that, but that is a great book, I get it. I've read a lot of it, it tells me what I'm kind of supposed to be doing. But you gotta have a job, I don't know about job description, but what our planning commission chair should do, what our mayor kind of should do. And I don't know that we just look to that book, maybe we do.
Well, that there book quotes all the state law regarding what you should be doing.
True, but maybe there's other things we want our mayor to do.
Absolutely.
And maybe there's.
We all want that.
I think that's a great start, but I don't know that that's exactly what we want. And I'd just like to look at these things. And I think it would really help us keep top-notch people in these positions.
Well, I think that one thing is that we're asking our planner to do a lot of additional things.
Yeah.
Most planners do not.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he writes a description, it's going to include, I assume, a lot of the other things that.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's okay, as long as.
Well, I don't need to do those other things.
Yeah, or you say this is what the planner does, but Eric's job description also includes these things. Because there are things that,
yeah,
if you were to replace Eric as planner, that person may not be qualified to do.
Yeah. Correct.
So I'm,
or there may be things that are qualified to do that Eric's not, but.
I'm gonna talk out of turn, but you know, Friday I get a call from Eric who says, hey, we have the state septic tank inspector coming Saturday morning to look at the septic tanks up in Storm Haven. He'll be there at 8:30. We need some help. You know, you go up there and you, them concrete caps, you lift them out of there, and Eric and Logan and I were there with the state inspector, and Gary Walton happened to be
right
there. And so we meet them up there, and we go dig up the caps off the septic tanks and lift them out and watch them, you know, check the sludge and stuff in the septic tanks. There's two of them up there. And I guess if you're looking to write everything that we do, I mean, it's virtually impossible because the phone rings and the state guy says, hey, we're coming Saturday, so we just drop what we're doing and we go make it happen.
Right.
And so, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in this town that I would dare bet 98% of the population don't know what happens. And Gary and Eric and myself and others are pretty much, well, the phone rings and we drop what we're doing and we go do it.
That's true.
And so, I mean, I'm not looking for a pat on the back or anything else. I'm just saying that, to, you know, if you want a job description for the mayor, then we better hook a GoPro on him and see what he's doing and video him.
That's not true. that's not true at all. I can write a job description for a mayor.
Okay.
I can't say, oh, this Saturday morning he will be up inspecting septic. I can't say that.
I can't say that.
Yeah, so certainly there are things that are going to be unforeseen, but you can classify those in things of you know, other wording.
Other duties as assigned.
Yeah, other duties as assigned. Or
might as well not write a job description.
So.
I see what you're saying, though.
So I certainly think we could.
If you write that for the mayor, then if a new guy wants to be mayor, he's going to look at that and go, I want that.
Yeah.
They
want it's that. A lot. Well, it's a lot.
I think if you look at it, though, the political positions or appointed positions are, their job description is really defined by the state code and by the town code.
Yeah.
And
the mayor basically could write his own job description and change it every day if he wanted to. But I think for employees, for example, like Eric, it's unfair to him to not have a job description to say, this is how I know whether I've done a good job or not. Now, Eric's gone above and beyond and done a whole bunch of other things, which should be taken into account. But planner's position, this is what the planner ought to do. And so if a councilman says, I don't like our planner, well, you need to replace him because he's not doing his job, then you can go look at that job and say, but yes, he is. If his job description needs to be modified, we can do that. But I think it protects your employees. It also helps the town understand what's happening. And that's why I think, and the same for Kim's position, there probably should be a job description for that one so that she knows what her responsibilities are. When someone says you're not doing a good job, she can say, well, yes, I am. I'm doing everything that's on my job description. If that needs to change and I need to do some other things, please tell me. But you know, you can't surprise somebody and say, well, I think you should have been doing this, so you're doing a crummy job. So I think for the paid positions in the town, that's important. The others, you can change them at will, basically. I mean, they're defined in the code.
Okay. Well,
that's just my thought.
Okay. Anything else, Joel?
Yeah. So if we just stop this now, it's just going to end. What? How do we move forward with something here? Or do maybe you don't want to? But I would like to move forward with something.
Sounds to me like I need to look at this document that Eric's already provided for me.
That would be one for Eric. What about Kim?
Did we not write up something,
Gary,
when we hired Kim so that she knew what she was getting into? So there is something. We're not starting. Okay.
It's brief, but we did, you know, because her duties involve so many additional things that are unexpected or unforeseen.
So we probably ought to expand hers anyways. And Eric, I'm not sure what the document says, but it's probably got a lot of the things that you're doing.
Yeah, well, I separated the water person's job.
Oh.
I separated the different things I was doing.
Okay.
Because I didn't figure one person would do all that.
Great.
Then I stayed.
Yeah.
I'll dig that copy up. I know it's right on my desk. I know right where it is.
And Kim's, you got Kim's stuff too, probably.
Probably. I'll find that and get you a copy of all that.
Now, that's just what I'm not saying that somebody else might think I need to do something else, but that's what I do.
Yeah, and that'll be perfect for everyone to know. Gary, do you want to draft what you do or what you think you should do?
Well, mine's kind of the same thing. I'm basically an unpaid position. Yeah, we get paid to go to a meeting, but...
And I think that actually should change with all you do.
I don't know that it should.
Well,
I don't know that I agree with that.
We can agree to disagree, but and maybe something that comes up down the road, but you do a lot.
Yeah, but typically it's an unpaid position. It's not a paid position. That's what the planner's there for. And they do the heavy lifting and then we run the planning commission meetings and try and make sense of, you know, what's going on.
We certainly couldn't pay enough to make it worth your time. I know that, but some might have. So down the road, we might look at that. I don't know what these guys
I don't know that that's a barrier for anyone on planning.
Yeah, I don't know that it is either for what we pay. But I still think a job description for what you do would be helpful.
Well, it's defined in the code again.
Mm-hmm.
What the position is. It needs to be fixed. There's some things that planning commission chair and planning director are kind of mixed up in the code, and I think we need to fix that.
Okay, is that something you'd want to look at then?
We've talked about looking at it as part of the recommendations for November.
Okay.
Along with what Mary's talking about.
Perfect.
Thanks, Mary. You're welcome. So you're making up for lost time.
You
come to our meetings. You got it all here.
You don't
want to
know my last time.
I know. I'm just.
Wow.
I'm only teasing you.
Johnny, do you have anything else?
Give me a minute. No, I'm good.
Let me go, okay? I don't really have anything, but I do want to just let the council know that after reviewing all of the documents that Heber City Council approved
in dealing with the FBO and the litigation settlements, our representative, Mike Duggan, for the Airport Advisory Board, has formally resigned. Those documents have basically determined what's going to happen at the airport for the next 50 years. And it is his determination that they don't even need an Airport Advisory Board. They haven't met since January, and he wasn't informed of the January meeting, so he wasn't there. Anyway, if they ever have another meeting again, and they haven't announced what they're going to be doing, the council would need to appoint a new representative to represent Daniel. It is in their bylaws, the Airport Advisory bylaws, that Daniel appoints their own representative, and that person is not removed by Keith. So, I'm sorry, I tried to talk him out of it, but if you read those documents, you'll understand.
I loved his letter.
I did too.
Good letter.
Well, you know how long he's worked on that and how hard.
Yeah.
And it's, my opinion is Heberson made a huge mistake. But they didn't ask my opinion. And they didn't ask the advisory board either.
Yeah.
So there, that's all I have. Except right. that I may not be here for the October meeting. I've got to go to Oklahoma.
Well, have a safe trip and we'll meet. Thanks for all you did. Appreciate your report. Let's go to the planning report. We have that right here in front of us. Does anybody have any questions on any of the items on the planning report?
So is CMC up and running yet?
Yes, they're delivering cement.
They're making cement, huh?
They're making
wow.
cement.
Awesome.
Have been for about 2 weeks, haven't they?
Right. Yeah, they started at about the 18th of last month.
Yep.
I haven't seen any of their trucks.
That's a good thing. We weren't supposed to.
I haven't
remember?
Seen any of their trucks.
They stay on the routes they told us they would so far.
Right.
Well,
oh,
not really. But
well, there's a lot of complaining on Facebook about trucks going out Airport Road. But with that roundabout there, of course they're going to go out Airport Road. They can't get through that stupid roundabout.
That's a crazy thing, isn't it?
Isn't it? Stupid design.
Well, once the apartments are up and running, you won't notice the few trucks that are mingled between the cars.
They ought to make that just a little bit skinnier.
Always the
optimist. You know, that's a skinny roundabout. There, just for, you know, just for your, there's about 12 items here, and there's some complaints, the RV on Daniel Road that we've already talked about, so we're working on that. It's just not sitting there looking at it. So any other questions? I think most of the fiber optic lines are in. Utah Broadband's pretty much well done.
Yeah, they're back hooking up customers.
They're back hooking customers up now. That's there's been a few ag barns that have been permitted, agricultural permits.
They did hit an irrigation line, the fiber,
yeah.
down by the school. They found it, a little bit of an emergency, but.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They fixed it though. I mean, it took them a little while, but, okay. Eric, thank you.
Yep, thanks
for all you do.
Okay, just before you leave me.
Okay.
I sent you guys an email on 10/12 of 22 regarding, and we talked about the codes that we needed to adopt on conservation. And so this Water Smart grant that they're talking about tonight, you have to adopt this code to be eligible for that. So okay. you opted not to adopt these in October. We probably need to relook at that. If you're going to go for the grant, then this is one of the criteria that you'll have to have for the Water Smart grant. So I don't know, do you want
so
me?
Would you be willing to cover that in next month's meeting? on, just go over that with us, what we need to, or how do you recommend that we move forward with that?
I would, if I was you, I would send this to the Planning Commission and have a recommendation from them.
Okay.
Yep.
So would you send that to the Planning Commission then for this meeting?
Upon that instruction, I will.
Okay. Send that to the Planning Commission for their meeting next week.
Okay.
We'll be meeting Friday anyway, the three of us, to go over all this anyway, so just plan on doing that if you would.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's your copy. Does anybody need me to send that out again to you?
Please.
Okay.
I think I've still got it. But if I don't, I'll let you know Friday.
Send it again.
Send it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll talk to you Friday. I'll see you on Friday.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, any other questions for Eric?
So you didn't report on our septic.
Do you want to report on?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like you're in everybody's shit.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time there. That's all right. Somebody's got to do it.
I see.
But they did, so the state did come in. Eric can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of interesting the way they do things. I'm going to tell you probably what you don't want to know, but they stick a pipe down in these septic tanks. I did it last year too. It's been an education for me. They stick this pipe down in there and they measure the water level and the sludge level, and then they stick another pipe down in there and they see how much scum's on top, and then he gets in his vehicle and does some calculations and he tells us whether we need to pump the tanks or not. And I don't know all the mathematical equations, and I don't really care to, but they determined that the tanks are operating properly. They're at about 40% level, which was great, and he said we didn't need to pump the tanks this year, that they were operating correctly, and they still had the capacity in them to do what they needed to do. And so that was the state's report that will be filed, and that's a good thing. I mean, it's kind of an education.
How frequently do they have to pump those?
Every 2 or 3 years, depending on when the state determines that they need to pump.
But they inspect it every year, right?
Then, yeah, we have to have it inspected every year. So it's inspected every year. And I know this was the second year that it got inspected, because the first year I did the same thing, which has been good. It's been good to find out what goes on and how things are maintained and how the town of Daniel operates. It's been quite educational for me. So.
Okay.
Anything else, Eric?
I can tell you that's not in your job description or my job description.
Well, but it's in somebody's job description, and I'd just as soon do it. So
thanks for doing it.
I mean, it's great news for Stormhaven residents. I mean, that thing's working so awesome after we did all that middle of the road digging and having so much fun in the neighborhood, that it's just working good. So that's a good thing. I mean, we was pumping 3 times a year. And now we've been 2 years without pumping. Wow. So, I mean, things are really looking good. I think the education part of that we sent out, what not to flush, I think the people are catching on. Yep. So,
awesome.
So we've had no plugs. We haven't had to jet it.
So pass that on.
I would maybe send that out again, though, because we have some new residents.
Oh.
I was thinking of posting something just to remind people.
Yeah.
Good idea. Okay, thank you. Let's talk about agenda item number 9, the water systems. We've had a pretty good discussion on that earlier, on kind of what we're looking at and where we're going, or what we're looking at trying to do. Do you have anything to report about the water systems?
No, it's doing good. The last, the use has gone up. We maintained at 56 gallons a minute for almost most of summer, but now we're up to 84 when I checked Thursday, 84 gallons a minute. So the use is up, gone up a little bit, but the well's keeping up. We're 40 PSI. It's really remarkable, I mean, what we have, but there's no redundancy built into the system, so every phone calls, I hold your breath, so. Unfortunately, that's, I think that the grants and stuff we need to do up there is 5 minutes. If it goes down, they're out of water.
So what would a domestic well for a single house need to pump? If we're at 80 gallons per minute, what would a single home be with a well?
It depends on, we're doing a study right now. The state of Utah has determined how much a household will use. And so that, then you can just divide that by, we get, our usage goes anywhere. I mean, some people only use 1,000 gallons in a month.
Yeah.
And other people, you know, I think 340 gallons.
Yeah.
You know, 340,000 gallons.
We have some that big?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got some people that, and as long as they're paying their bill, I mean, the town's selling water, so.
Yeah.
That just means we don't go over the overflow, but our CMC's come online. It's usually been a five-day cycle from empty, when the pump kicks on, till the pump's full, and then five down, and then this, now it has changed to four.
Really?
Yeah, so 4 days takes before the pump kicks back on. So from full, it takes 4 days before it's down, and then it kicks back on.
Where it was five.
Yeah. So we still have, so we was half and half using half the water, now we're using a little bit more than half on that, in case you're curious.
I am, yeah,
that's
thanks.
What I just look at that trend as I'm checking things.
Yeah,
there, so.
Thanks.
Is that kind of what you expected to see?
I didn't know what really to expect, because that 5 days, it just, you know, it's, this will be more constant though. I think the cement plant will be more constant of a use. If it rains, nobody waters their lawn, so we got that variables that go on. But
are they drawing what they said they were going to draw?
That I don't know. They have a 3-inch meter, so so I don't know. That's why I watch it, because if they're drawing too much, then we'll have to do something else, whether that's an orifice or whatever we end up doing. But I think they're pretty much staying within what the bounds are. They're not running as close or anything, so.
Yeah, and that meter, it runs through that meter, so it's all metered.
Yeah.
So we know what they're using. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we'll have better data after they win a full month.
Yep.
So. Anyway.
Any other questions about water? Okay, let's go to agenda item number 10, recorder's office, warrants, approval. Kim?
Okay, it's a pretty simple warrant this month. We've talked about a couple times that Ardura has changed their billing, so this is the month where we're catching up. They've changed from first of the month to middle of the month, so we'll always be 20 days or so behind, so we don't have any bills for them this month. The Smith Harbigson is the two litigations that you're aware of that we're in. Everything else was pretty simple and on track. We don't have any Executech because we're still in the process of moving over to Aaron Cheatwood. I spoke to him today, and we're still kind of filling out. We're in that 90 days where we're filling out that, and Executech didn't get me their invoice in time for just the monthly amount that we pay for the subscriptions for Microsoft, but I actually did send those to Aaron, and he was a little bit confused by them too, and when I tried to get a hold of the billing department, there wasn't anybody in, but he stated that when he takes over, because they keep adding, and it's not a lot of money, but it's like they added another license on last month, and then it was another $550, which isn't terrible, but why? We didn't change anything. And then This month, there was an additional $4, or, well, last month, but looking at that, there was an additional $4, and I don't have any explanation of what that is. So now we're $9.50 over, and I have no idea why. And he stated that when we move everything to him, it'll be a simple pass-through cost. So that's all I have to report on that. I think everything else is right in line. Nothing surprising under power or any other costs. There was an extra test for Chemtech Ford, but they were catching up from sampling that we paid for last month. So we got them. So they're not aligning. It's taking, you know, it takes 2 weeks or 3 weeks between the sample and getting that billing. So, but it's still not unreasonable.
Motion to approve warrants.
What is that? CI Hemer. I don't know. CI Hemer, it doesn't have a.
On your above Shelley and Eric Bunker, it says CI Hemer.
Which one?
On the one that's got the date.
On the first page.
First page. About halfway down
it's
the page.
It's a blank line.
It's a blank line, and then one
right above
says,
Shelley's.
Oh, that was where I was going to put Eric. Cheat woods, that's just, you can just scratch that out. I just forgot to delete that, I guess.
Okay. So did you want us to include an executive bill or an ACE bill or anything?
No, we'll do it all next month because he didn't have a good price for us because we're still moving stuff around. I didn't get the invoice from Executech, so that'll all, and obviously we'll have a bill for Ardura next month too. So it was a light month. We'll take it. It's up and running, and I'm still moving some stuff around. I like it. We're using the new Windows software, and that's been a little bit challenging. It functions the same way, but it looks really different, and so I'm still kind of getting used to that. It's kind of like, I don't know if any of you remember Vista. It feels a little like you went from this and then Vista, and it was supposed to be the all new great thing, but it was like looked completely different. So
yours is up and running, Eric?
I, you know what, I got my laptop and I have not moved anything over.
So no.
But he has his laptop and it's ready to go.
Yeah, it's all ready.
But his also has the new Windows, so he has to get used to using that too.
I'd like to drop it and move on.
Technology, Greg. It is. I like the fall.
Well, we were just waiting for you to learn it, Scott, so you can teach us.
So.
Okay, so John moved to approve.
I'll second that.
Okay, and Barry, okay.
Call for a vote.
Yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Okay, let's go to approval of meeting minutes for, we'll go clear back to July. We'll start with July 10th. And go from there.
Just so you know, I did go back through because they were 14 pages and I condensed it down so it wouldn't be quite so painful. That was a hard meeting.
That was a big meeting.
Well, and it was hard because the airport thing, it just kept, the same things were said over and over from different people at different times, so I was able to condense it.
So I'll call for a motion when you're ready.
Eric found us. Spelling error. I spelled Lisa Dinga's name wrong on the first page.
So I'm supposed to tell him I whispered it to you.
That's okay. I'll take it. Lisa's gone, so we can say that I spelled her name wrong. Thank you. But Barry, I spelled your name right.
How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
Did you get what you needed to from this meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just know it's winding down.
Yeah. Okay, good.
We'll see you guys later.
Bye, Haber.
He learned some stuff.
That's what I'm here for.
Becoming an informed chairperson for the Board of Appeals.
Barry's still going on.
She's on the next one.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so. This is rather long enough. This is that airport. So Eric pointed out that the $9,000 or the 9,000 gallon maximum for Storm Haven, if you look at the resolution, it's actually for 8,000, but 9,000 was what was mentioned in the meeting, and I actually went back and listened to that twice because it was unclear. So you can decide if you want me to change it to what was said in the meeting or what is accurate. Or I could put in parentheses that it was stated in the meeting, but that is an inaccurate. Should I do that? Okay. Okay, nope, and that's fine, and I'll just change it and put in parentheses that okay. that it was someone misspoke. What page was that
was
on?
It green?
It's no. On item number 6, I believe. Item 6.
On the first set?
Item 6, yeah, first one.
Okay.
Top of the...
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
On the next page.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
make a motion that we approve the minutes for July.
Okay, Lance, second.
I'll second that.
Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Voter abstain.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Okay, let's go to the August 7th minutes.
I would like to suggest one change, if I could, please.
Sure.
Number 13, the meeting minutes for June 5th and July 10th. We only took action on the 5th, and so could we, in our minutes, just to clarify that we continued
sure.
the July 10th?
Sure, I can do that.
For the next meeting.
Okay.
Great job on this, Kim.
Thanks.
Just on item number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Just capitalized Nellie's last
name. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. It didn't catch that because Pace is a word.
Call for a
motion.
Thank you.
Motion to approve the minutes from the August 7th meeting.
With the changes?
With the changes,
okay.
Yes.
And I'll second that.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Voter abstain.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
I'll call for a motion then.
To adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Voter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Okay, who seconded? I know John's always going to make the motion to adjourn.
7:38.
Wasn't everything you thought it would be?
Oh, it was real exciting.
So this is Mr. Crabb. We've spoken twice today. He knows exactly where the town office is.
Wow. He's, I found this place.
He's very charming. We looked at the map. He knows on our map where his